Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwan Thal have ended just now, and as the devotees are silently lined up to have a close darshan of our dear Lord, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to continue with the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignyasa program. And along with me is Praveena sir to elaborate more and share his knowledge about the nuances and the intricacies related to the Vedic chantings. And without any further delay, we would all collectively invite Praveena sir, Sairam sir.
Sairam to all of you.
Sir, collectively, we offer our humble pranams at Swami's divine lotus feet and pray to him that whatever we think, whatever we speak and whatever we do is his sankalpa. Yes. And he speaks through us.
Yes.
And with that prayer, sir, yes, we shall start the class with the Ganapati Prarthana, sir.
We'll chant together.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Notibhissedasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswate Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Om Shri Sai Ram. In the sessions earlier, we were discussing about the beauty of the meanings that's contained in the Vedic mantras. So also the application part of the Vedic mantras and how novel they are, how effective they are, and how the mantras have to be chanted, recited. We are discussing about all these things.
Yes, sir.
And there is no doubt that meanings are very profound. In fact, as we discuss about the meaning of the different mantras that we can find in the Vedic text, it's very, very difficult to confine ourselves to a specific one meaning. Because the meaning can be interpreted in so many different ways, and obviously we can view the overall picture of that particular mantra in different way altogether.
Yes.
Okay, that is the part of actually the beautiful
that
Sanskrit
beauty
language.
Of, yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, when we think of the meaning of each word and how the words are formed. Okay, this also, there is a beauty in it, especially when you are referring to Vedic Sanskrit. Maybe this can be elaborated giving an example.
Yes, sir.
Ganesh, do you remember the mantra that the Rig Veda starts with?
Agnimi ile purohitam yajnasya deva mrutvijam.
Yes, in fact, that is the first verse that we can find in the oldest book in the history of mankind, that Rig Veda, how many thousands of years old it is. But starts with Agnimile Purohitam Yajnasya Devam Ritvijam. So the first word when you take Agnim Ile, Agnimile. All of us know Agni has got one more name which is very commonly being used, Vanni. Just because Agni is Vanni, actually you cannot chant as Vanni mile purohitam yajnasya deva mrutvijam.
Does the meaning change, sir, there?
Yeah, meaning changes means, although both Agni and Vanni have got the same meaning. But here the interesting thing is that the sound that gets originated as we chant Agni And the sound that gets produced when we chant Varni, that the vibration is different.
Okay, sir.
Which finally may lead to different meaning.
Hmm.
For example, when we say Agni, when you actually can spit it, how it's, when you see the structuring or formation of this particular word, Agni, A plus G plus N plus E, Agni. So we got the Akarottara, Gakarottara, Nakarottara, Ikarottara vibrations which are very, very specific to this word. A, G, N, A, E, E, E.
Hmm.
But when we say Vanni, V plus A plus Ha plus N plus E, now here the vibrations which are created after each of these parts is different.
How is it that, sir? Can you explain?
Yeah, here, when we say Agni, okay, it's actually formed or structured using these, okay, basic sounds, A, G, N, and E. But when we say Varni, it is formed or it is structured, okay, when we have these sounds, V, A, Ha, N, and E, coming together.
Yes.
Although we don't actually split them and tell them separately, but in a very subtle way, the vibrations which are created when you chant Agni is different from the vibration that's produced when we chant Varni.
Yes,
although Agni means the same as Varni.
Yes, sir.
So we don't say Varni Mele Purohitam. So it's Agni Mele, it has to be Agni Mele Purohitam only. So that's how the not mere the meaning, but also the sound that's produced and the vibrations that are produced, created, as we chant these particular words, that is more important. That's
because,
why in the very first session itself I was telling, basically Vedas are sounds.
Yes, sir.
Sounds which are able to generate such magnanimous, powerful, spiritual vibrations, which can cleanse not merely our own selves, but also the surroundings.
And as you were telling in the previous class that Vedas are Rajashasanas.
Yes, Prabhu Samhitas.
Prabhu Samhitas. Correct.
Yes, yes.
What is being told is like, it's like a principle to be followed, sir.
Exactly.
So when you are telling in place of Agni, we cannot replace it with Varni.
Correct.
It is for a purpose that Agni is being put there.
Yes, rightly said, Ganesh. So here, we don't have right to change the word, although
yes,
we have another word.
Option
which
for
change.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
So that is the power behind the Vedic chanting.
Yes.
Okay, and we can see such words which are being constructed or formulated. Okay, but maybe can be replaced according to modern Sanskrit, can be replaced, but we are not supposed to replace because here mainly the vibrations which are produced okay, are very, very specific and they are having their own effect. The last session that we had, I was also mentioning about the structuring and also the some of the rules regarding the Anuswara followed by Ha, G, etc.
Vyanjanas.
Yes, how it slowly gets modified.
Yes.
Okay, and how we can see those specific words in some of the Vedic text.
Yes.
The mantras. Okay, and also I had given the example, Ganana Antwa Ganapati Gumhava Mahe. Okay, actually it is Ganapatim, Dvitiya Bhakti, Ganapatim Hava Mahe. So, but we say, because Ha is there, followed which follows the Anuswara. Okay, that is So, Ganapatim Havamahe, Ganapatigum Havamahe.
Yes.
Similarly, even the Rudram also, Ahi Gushcha Sarvan. Ahim plus Sha.
Sha.
So, Ahi Gushcha. So, the Anuswara followed by Sa, Sha. But not me, this kind of structuring, you can see, mainly confining itself to the Krishna Yajurveda Taittiriya Shaka. That's
why,
another
interesting. Why is it so?
We can see this kind of structuring, okay, invariably in this one, and may not be applied to overall Veda, because
okay,
there is a shiksha called Taittiriya Shiksha. Okay, and we have got various other shikshas. Okay, so Taittiriya Shiksha deals with all those norms, rules and regulations which are confined to the mantras that occur in the Taittiriya Shaka.
Yes, sir. Okay,
so when you see even Rudram, which comes as a part of Taittiriya, you can see, for example, Vijjandanukkapardino Vishalyo Banavagum Uta. You see, U comes there. So, Banavam plus Uta, Banavagum Uta. So, not merely those G, Ga or Ha, but also vowels. So, U being one of the vowels. So, in all the place of vowels also, okay, in the Taittiriya Shaka, we can find such formulations. Similarly, in the same Rudra, we can see Ra when it comes after Anuswara. Okay, can you just chant E Chemagum Ganesh?
E Chemagum Rudra Abhito Diksha Shrita Sahasrasho Vaishagum Heda Imahe.
Now, if you notice here, E Chemam Rudra, but E Chemagum Rudra. So, even Anuswara followed by Ra. Ri, ru, ru, ro. So, all those modifications. That also follows the same rule here. So, that's how you can see invariably confining in, or you can see such structuring in Taittiriya Shaka of Krishna Yajurveda. Okay, and such formulations are there. Okay, may not be applied to some of the other mantras in other branches.
It's so interesting when we know the intricacies. And we then, if we chant, we enjoy the beauty of the mantra more and more, sir.
Yeah, we get to know of actually that particular mantra comes under which shaka. That also we'll come to know. And we'll be able to have better study of what we're chanting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And also we have it's called Pratishakya, the branch, which usually gives all the norms, rules, regulations regarding the way in which we are supposed to chant, the Pratishakya. There could be Taittiriya Pratishakya, as just we discussed. We also have Yajnavalkya Pratishakya. There are various Pratishakyas which actually give details, specific details of the mantras, how it has to be chanted, okay, in particular Vedic groups. Okay. Then also, we have some of the other important rules. We chant it very casually, normally. Of course, we may not even make the mistake. But maybe it's good for us to know what are those things and why some of the changes do occur compared to when we chant and when we write. For example, when you write Brahma, Brahma is one of the common words that we can find in Vedic text. Brahma, Brahmana, even the word that we just now discussed, one he.
I was about to ask you that doubt, sir.
Yeah. Plus also Grinhami. So these are some of the common words that you can see. But can you tell me, Ganesh, how you write and how we chant?
Sir, when we talk of the meaning of Agni or fire as Vahni, when the script is being written, the Na comes below the Ha. Normally when we pronounce, it is Hni. But when you are telling it is Vanhi, the Na comes first and followed by Ha. So, that's what I wanted to ask you.
This is another rule in Pratishakya, which rule is called Hanama Pare. A very short rule, aphorism. So that is the norm that we are supposed to follow, okay, when we chant these Vedic mantras. When you see the script, say Brahma, Brahmana, or Vanhi, or Grinhami, all these scripts, okay, you can invariably see what comes first. It is the Ha comes first. And other syllable, Na, or a Na or Ma, come later. But when we chant it as Na comes, or Na comes first, or Ma comes first. When you see the script, it is Brahma.
Correct, sir.
Ha is joining with Ma later. Okay, but according to this rule, as we chant Hinama Pare, if you elaborate it, Hakarantat, Hakarantat, Na na ma parat nasikyam. Okay, nasikyam is the na na ma are said to be nasikyam.
Brahmana.
Yeah, Brahmana. Mm. So they are supposed to come first. So and they, comes later.
Correct, sir.
Ha comes later. Mm. So maybe when we take such example as Brahma, Vanhi, Grinhami. So this particular rule, which is called Hakarantat Nama Parat Nasikyam. Okay, this is universally, although accepted, there are exceptions because we can see some geographical region where this mantra is being chanted. Okay, they may not follow this very strictly.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but invariably, in most of the cases, we do follow this particular rule. Okay, where it is the vyanjana will come later. Okay, sorry, first, and ha comes later.
Mm.
Although they are joined in a reverse way.
An example, sir?
Just an example
vanhi,
of vanhi, brahma. So when we say brahma, we write brahma. After brahma first, then ma.
Ma, correct.
But when we chant, we don't usually chant it as brahma.
Brahma.
Yes, we say brahma.
Yes, sir.
Brahma, ha. Ha comes later. So this is what the hakarantat na nama parat nasikyam. So nasikya should come first.
Yes.
Hakara comes later.
Later.
Hakara antat. In the anta, hakara will come. So this is the one which actually governs the way in which we are supposed to chant. Similarly, in some of the places, although it's written, okay, in the Vedic text, and we chant very casually, and some people may follow, may not follow. However, maybe a standard version of Vedic chanting may encourage having a slight pause between long or dirgha swara followed by another oval. Okay, I think you may be knowing even Grinhami or this one Ghanam, Karoti Rupani Ghanam, which we chant here also. As a part of it, in somewhere in the middle it comes, Te Agniye, Agniye Te Te, Agniye Nama Ni Nama, Anyagniye Te Te, Agniye Nama Ni. Now here, invariably we slightly pause after Dirga.
Yes.
Agniye Te. After te, see, te is dirga. Okay, so that's why dirga swara followed by immediately a comes. So te, agniye. Okay, it need not be too long. Just a very short pause. Okay, just to indicate what for this particular pause is given. Actually, you cannot see in writing. In some of the scripts, they may show by using a small comma to show that you are supposed to pause.
Yes.
Okay. But the standard way of chanting, you can find a pause invariably given, a very short pause, to indicate that you are not supposed to club them, a sandhi is not being formed. Although according to modern classical Sanskrit, sandhi is possible because dirgha swara followed by another swara. Sandhi, for example, deva, deva plus alaya, see small this oval followed by again dirgha swara, devalaya.
Yes, sir.
But here, devalaya, we say. But here, in this case, in many of the places here, dirghaswara followed by another vowel. Okay, there is a chance of sandhi being formed, but we are not supposed to form sandhi. We are supposed to separate them and chant.
Yes.
Only to indicate that, okay, you can see, a slight pause can be given. Te, agniye, agniye, te, te, agniye. So that's how. Now this is, you can see in many places, tasma dashva ajayanta. All else you can chant, if there's no sandhi, tasma dashva ajayanta, dashva ja. No, we chanted tasma dashva ajayanta. Similarly, vayurva agnirva apamayatanam, vayurva apamayatanam. We don't say vayurva apamayatanam, agnirva apamayatanam. Okay, so here, so that shows we are supposed to give a slight pause, which indicates that there is no sandhi being formed. We are supposed to chant as it is, given to us by our own ancestors in the same form. Okay, that's where I said earlier, in the first session I said, all the Vedic mantras are to be followed very strictly, because we cannot apply the modern Sanskrit rules, etc., strictly to that.
Yes, sir.
We may apparently find, okay, they are deviating from the normal classical Sanskrit grammar. But these are called Arsha Prayogas or Chandasa Prayogas, okay, which only rishis have the authority to construct, formulate this way, and we are supposed to follow.
So,
so that is the beauty of the this Vedic mantras, which have to be followed very strictly, and how the formulation of even the words, sentences, okay, can be followed, should be followed, so that we are able to generate the right effect after chanting.
Sir, it's very beautiful knowing the technical aspects from you, sir. On the other hand, we would love to know, what was your first ever experience with Vedam with Swami, sir?
Oh, that is...
Just to take a small diversion from the very hot topic of...
I still remember the occasion when Swami started encouraging students and the staff to learn, not merely students and staff, even the public to learn Vedic mantras in large scale, publicly. Do you remember those days when the Rudram was being taught in the Sai Kulanth Hall to the public?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it was being followed by all the those people, devotees who are sitting in the Sai Kulanth Hall, they used to repeat what is being taught.
Yes, sir.
And Swami used to monitor personally these things. In fact, even sometimes Swami used to insist upon learning the meaning. Swami used to ask, come and tell the meaning of this particular mantra. And it was told publicly also.
Yes.
So that was the interesting thing. That's how Swami started giving a lot of encouragement for Vedic learning by everybody. It goes beyond any caste, creed, nationality. Swami said, okay, Vedic chanting very powerful and everybody has the right to learn and chant these Vedic mantras, these very sacred Vedic mantras. And one such occasion when Swami had called the teachers and students, Swami spoke elaborately on the Vedic mantras, importance of that, significance of that, maybe around 40-45 minutes. In the end, Swami asked, any doubt to be asked? It was during that time, one boy made himself bold and asked Swami, Swami, we have been chanting Vedic mantras, but we do not know the meaning of the mantras, many of the mantras. We know some of the easy mantras, the overall meaning we know, but Swami, we are not very sure of the meaning of many other mantras, which actually sound little difficult for us, although we are able to chant.
Yes.
And then Swami never put them down. Swami said, encourage, you first learn Vedic mantras. And Swami, in fact, started giving an analogy by saying, when a patient goes to a doctor, okay, he is having some problem, okay, and the doctor diagnoses everything and sees what the problem is, and finally says, yes, take this tablet, take this drug. And the moment doctor gives this tablet to the patient, will the patient, or is it right on patient's part to ask, doctor, you are giving this chemical drug, but I do not know the chemical formula of this particular drug. Is there any, will there be effect if I take this drug? Okay, that doesn't sound good, isn't it? So that's how, whether you know the formula, chemical formula or not, but the moment you take
there.
The effect is there. Okay, so that's how Swami said, doesn't matter, don't worry. Initially, you can start learning, practicing Vedas, and then start chant Vedic mantras more and more. As you start learning these Vedic mantras, as you chant, as you practice, then obviously, automatically you start developing even more interest to find out the meaning and get to know more about Vedic mantras.
Yes, yes.
Maybe that is how we can proceed. Okay, then we'll be able to really get a lot of benefit, not merely by chanting these Vedic mantras, but also a lot of knowledge regarding the Vedic text.
Very beautifully said, sir, and the loving mother that Swami is, the way
he had always encouraged all of us to learn, chant, and propagate these Vedic mantras.
Yes. So, sir, with this, I think we can bring this session to an end.
Yes.
And maybe in the next episode, you can elaborate more on the technical aspects, sir.
Okay, sure.
So, dear listeners, Once more, we request you all to please share your thoughts, ideas and feedback on what is being shared with all of you to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp your feedback to 9393258258. With this, we come to an end to this week's Veda Jignasa program. And again, next week, same time, we shall meet back. And on the other side is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Sai Ram and happy listening. But before we close, Kshama Prarthana Mantram.
We'll chant together.
Om. Yadakshara padabhrashtam matrahinantu yadbhavet tatsarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visargabindu matrani padapadaksharani cha nyunani cha tiriktani kshamasvasa ishvara aparadha sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya dasoyamiti mahamatva kshamasvasa ishvara anyatha sharanam nasti tvameva sharanam mama tasmat karunya bhavena raksha raksha sai ishvara harihi om tat sat sri sai ishvara arpanamastu.